But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of my king. Someday my earthly house will fall. I cannot tell how soon 'twill be. But this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me. Someday when fades the golden sun beneath the rosy tinted west, my blessed Lord will say, well done, and I shall enter into rest. Someday till then I'll watch and wait, my lamp all trimmed and burning bright, that when my Savior opes the gate, my soul to him may take its flight. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. The story behind that song and a little bit of Fanny Crosby goes like this. When one reflects on the phenomenal rise of the evangelical movement in the latter quarter of the 19th and the early years of the 20th centuries, three spiritual stalwarts stand out as the most influential. Evangelist Dwight L. Moody, musician Ira D. Sankey, and hymn writer Fanny J. Crosby. In his later years, Sankey himself once remarked that the success of the Moody-Sankey evangelistic campaigns was due, more than any other human factor, to the use of Fanny Crosby's hymns. In the period of 1870 to her death in 1915, it is estimated that Fanny Crosby wrote between 8,000 and 9,000 gospel hymn texts, more than any other known hymn writer. The majority of her lasting favorites were written in her midlife during the decade of the 1870s. These include such popular hymns still found in our hymnals as Safe in the Arms of Jesus, Blessed Assurance, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross, I Am Thine, O Lord, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, Close to Thee, Praise Him, Praise Him, and to God be the glory, and rescue the perishing. Fanny Crosby's favorite motto was, I think life is not too long, and therefore I determined that many people will read a song who would not read a sermon. This song, Saved by Grace, was one of the choice later hymns written by Fanny Crosby in 1891 when she was 71 years of age. It became one of the most widely used hymns during the closing years of the Moody-Sankey evangelistic ministry. It was prompted by a tract read to Fanny Crosby containing the final message of a pastor friend who had recently died. The statement which greatly moved the aging blind poetess was, if each of us is faithful to the grace which is given us by Christ, that same grace which teaches us how to live will also teach us how to die. Fanny Crosby completed the poem in a matter of minutes under a great sense of divine inspiration. She titled her new poem Someday and often referred to it as her heart's song. After completing the poem, Fanny sent it to her publisher, the Biglow Maine Company, and received her customary $2 check. The publisher put the poem in the files and nothing more was heard of it for the next 3 years. It was the summer of 1894 and Fanny Crosby was attending the Christian Workers Conference in Northfield, Massachusetts, a ministry that Mr. Moody had established in 1879. When it was learned that the noted poetess, Fanny Crosby, was on the grounds, there was a request for her to address the group. At first, she firmly declined, saying that she could not speak to such an array of talent. Finally, after she relented, and in the midst of her remarks, quoted her heart's song, the poem, Someday. When she finished, there was not a dry eye in the auditorium. That evening, Ira Sankey asked Fanny where and when she had written those beautiful words. She told him that she had submitted it to the Bigelow and Maine publishers 3 years earlier, but that no one had seen fit to set it to music. She further stated that she had now decided to stow it away in her memory to use when she was invited to speak at occasions such as today, and added, "I don't intend to let any of you singers have it either," meaning that she did not want it set to music, lest it become too well known and the less desirable of her own individual speaking, and less desirable for her own individual speaking use. However, a reporter of the London Christian paper had been in attendance at the meeting and was much impressed with Fanny Crosby's poem. Not knowing of her desire to keep the poem exclusive, he had taken the words in shorthand, and soon it was printed in his English periodical. Shortly, Ira Sankey saw the verses in print. He contacted George Stebbins and showed him the verses that Fanny had quoted at the Bible conference meeting. Evidently, Mr. Sankey felt at liberty to ask Stebbins to compose music for the text since it was now in print. A short time later, Mr. Stebbins completed the appropriate music and also added the chorus to the stanzas. "Saved by Grace" became one of the personal favorites of both Moody and Sankey during this latter period of their ministry, and they used the song at nearly every service. It is stated that a typical scene at one of those meetings was the sight of old Moody sitting on the platform with a far-off look in his eyes while tears ran copiously down his ruddy, whiskered cheeks whenever the song was sung. Mr. Moody loved to hear a large audience sing the song, especially if the hymn could be divided between the choir and the audience, with the choir singing the phrase, "And I shall see him face to face," and the audience responding with, "And tell the story, saved by grace." Then on the morning of August 13, 1908, as Ira Sankey drifted off into a coma, it is reported that he did so singing these lines, "Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the king." By nightfall of that day, Ira D. Sankey experienced the truth of the last song he ever sang. Fanny Crosby developed a very close relationship with George Stebbins, and the two collaborated on many other songs, including the familiar invitation hymn, "Jesus is Calling." Fanny often said that she valued Stebbins as one of her most devout and precious friends. She said, "If ever there was a man of high honor and culture of character, it is Mr. Stebbins. He has filled up every nook of my life with his goodness." Stebbins, too, thought highly of Fanny Crosby. In his autobiography of 1924, he wrote, "There was probably no writer in her day who appealed more to the valued experiences of the Christian life, or who expressed more sympathetically the deep longings of the heart than did Fanny Crosby." Stebbins is also the composer of "Have Thine Own Way, Lord," "You Must Be Born Again," "There Is a Green Hill Far Away," "Jesus, I Come," "Take Time to Be Holy," "Savior, Breathe an Evening Blessing." The following are a few scattered highlights in the life of Fanny Crosby, often called the Queen of Gospel Hymnody. Born in Southeast New York on March 24, 1820, she died in Bridgeport, Connecticut on February 12, 1915, having lived 95 years. Blinded when 6 weeks old, through an improper medical treatment, she was able, however, to distinguish between day and night. She never considered blindness a handicap, but rather a blessing, and always insisted that blind people can accomplish almost everything sighted persons can. She lived a normal and happy childhood. She wrote, "I could climb a tree like a squirrel and ride a horse bareback." Early in life, she began memorizing the Bible and eventually could repeat by rote the entire Pentateuch. Somebody tell me what the Pentateuch is. The first 5 books of the Bible. All 4 Gospels, many of the Psalms, all of Proverbs, as well as the entire books of Ruth and Song of Solomon. She stated at the close of her life, "The holy book has nurtured my entire life." She spent 12 years as a pupil in the New York Institution for the Blind and served as a teacher there from 1847 to 1858, teaching language and history. Known for her musical abilities as well as a talent for writing poetry, she had a fine soprano voice as well as being accomplished in playing the guitar, the harp, piano, and organ. She was also well-versed in the great classics of music. She wrote some tunes for her text, but generally did not want them used, for she felt that they were too complicated for ordinary people to sing. She married a blind musician and teacher from the school, Alexander Van Alsten, in 1858. Very little is told of this marital relationship, other than that he was known as a very capable organist in the New York area. The Van Alstens had a child born the following year, who evidently died in early infancy. This event was something that Fanny Crosby would never discuss with anyone throughout her life. Fanny Crosby was very small in appearance, less than 5 feet tall, and she weighed no more than 100 pounds. She was said to have been physically unattractive, with a long face, prominent front teeth with a gap between them, thick and wavy hair parted in the middle and pulled backward in curls that hung to the shoulders, and always the dark rectangular glasses obscuring her sightless eyes. Yet when she spoke, it is said that there was an unusual charisma about her as her face lit up with an expression that gave her great charm and attractiveness. Though always devout and religious from childhood, it was on November the 20th, 1850, Fanny Crosby had a dramatic conversion experience at a Methodist revival meeting. She said, "My very soul was flooded with celestial light, and for the first time I realized that I had been trying to hold the world in one hand and the Lord in the other." Years later, when speaking of her November conversion experience, she said, "The Lord planted a star in my life, and no cloud has ever obscured its light." Though she had written a great deal of poetry as well as a number of secular songs in her early life, it was not until 1865 that Fanny Crosby wrote her first gospel song through the encouragement of William B. Bradbury, one of the most prolific hymn writers of that period. From that time on, Fanny felt that writing gospel hymn text was her particular mission in life. In addition to being a hymn writer, Fanny Crosby thought of herself as a home mission worker, generally spending several days each week in the missions of New York's Bowery District. She referred to those derelicts as her boys. Of her mission work, she said, "It is the most wonderful work in the world. It gives such an opportunity for love. That is all people want, love." Fanny Crosby was always eager to hear any reports regarding personal conversions as a result of the use of her hymns. It was her continual prayer that God would allow her to be the means of leading a million souls to Christ during her lifetime. Aunt Fanny always had a special love for children. And even in her old age, when asked to speak in a church service, she generally included a special children's sermon. Though partial to the Methodist Church, Fanny Crosby was a friend of all believers who loved Jesus and accepted the Scriptures. She frequently attended the Plymouth Congregational Church in Brooklyn to hear Henry Ward Beecher, her favorite preacher. She also liked to visit the Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church and the Trinity Episcopal Church, especially when the dynamic Phillips Brooks was guest speaker. Fanny Crosby was considered to be a very jovial person by those who knew her, noted for her quick wit and humor. Her sermons and speeches were characterized with funny stories and whimsical anecdotes. She often stated that the best way to chide or to criticize was through making people laugh at themselves. In her later years, Fanny Crosby was in great demand as a speaker and guest lecturer throughout the country. She generally traveled alone for those engagements. A typical introduction of her was with such titles as "The Protestant Saint" and "The Most Wonderful Person Living." Other hymns by Fanny Crosby include "All the Way My Savior Leads Me," "Rescue the Parish," and I think we mentioned that one. I'm not sure why they listed them twice. But someday the silver cord will break. We'll get to stand before Jesus. I don't know what it's like to go through life blind, but I'm sure tonight that she's got eyesight, able to see Jesus face to face. What a joyous time. And if she can do what she did, surely we can win somebody to Jesus Christ as well. I think Terry's next.